Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ian Rappaport.
Here's what we know right now.
Insider for the NFL Network.
Get out your notebook. There's more.
Breaking news across the National Football League.
This is something that has been going on through the wee hours of last night. Really round-the-clock discussion.
The Rap Sheet and Friends podcast.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Ian Rappaport with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Ian Rappaport's on Twitter at Rap Sheet. He of the NFL Network at NFL.com. The Rap Sheet and Friends podcast is friends Tom Pelissero and Mike Garofolo will be there for the Week 15 show. A pair of rookie starting quarterbacks, Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, the guests. Ian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Wonderful. And I'm wondering if you see symbolic value, as I do, in this particular Bears-Packers matchup, regardless of the outcome of an individual game, the meeting of two teams, two franchises currently headed in opposite directions.
Well, I'm not sure I would see it like that. I mean, the weird thing with Green Bay is, and obviously they fired Mike McCarthy, which is a horrific event, and unfortunately for McCarthy, who I think is a great, great coach and will continue to be a great coach, I do think this was necessary. It was time, and you lose to the Arizona Cardinals at home. Hard to argue, honestly, hard to argue with anything that came from that. But they're still good and talented, and Rodgers honestly looked better last week. I know Joe Philbin probably does not have a real chance to get the head coaching job, but they did look better as a team. They're still mathematically alive. I'm not sure what direction the Packers are going, because sometimes you do get a little bit of a bounce from a big-time catastrophic event like that.
So if you're on the Mike McCarthy train, or at least promoting him as a pretty good coach, then I would imagine, Ian, that you're kind of on the side that Aaron Rodgers was the guy that was intractable and kind of tough to work with. That would mean then that the next head coach just has to work with Aaron Rodgers, or is that a little too simplistic for the Packers' next direction?
I do believe Rodgers is tough to work with. He is extremely detail-oriented. He's extremely demanding. He is absolutely brilliant, and he knows what he wants all the time. And from what I'm told, you know, when he, say, didn't like a play call, which would happen, he was very upfront about it and very honest, which, you know, is fine, and you'd sort of rather a guy be honest than not, but eventually I think that wears thin. Yes, the new head coach is going to have to work with Aaron Rodgers, but not saying that he needs, like, a yes man, because I think the really good coach-quarterback relationship is one where sometimes you got to say some stuff to one another that's not exactly comfortable. Like, hey, look, like, this game plan you put together, like, I don't always think this is right. I think the tension, creative tension, is really fine. I just think when it gets to a point of being so long, eventually it just kind of, it's time to move on. And then, of course, the production on the field wasn't good enough physically for Rodgers either.
One of the names being floated as a possible head coach is Vic Fangio, the current defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, who's enjoying a star turn because of the quality of play on his side of the ball. And as I listen to what you say, I wonder if maybe Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy might say, okay, well, if we go against current fashion and hire a veteran defensive-minded head coach, maybe that allows them to finesse the Rodgers relationship on the offensive side of the ball a little bit differently and not have the most powerful guy on the team also be managing Rodgers every day if Vic would outsource the offense.
Not crazy. I've heard of dumber things.
Well, thank you for damning with faint praise, but appreciate
it. No problem. I would say this. I mean, yes, that would – I don't know who is in Vic Fangio's book or whatever as his offensive coordinator candidate, but let's just play that forward and say that did happen. Certainly he could keep Joe Philbin there, especially if they – you know, Philbin does do a nice job calling plays and they do have some success on offense. From what I know of the Packers' head coaching job, they are not searching for an offensive guy. They're not like, all right, we need this innovative mind and, you know, get Rodgers right and come in and lead the team. No, they're looking for a leader, and I literally think it could come from anywhere. It could come from the college ranks, definitely. I know they're going to interview at least one college coach. Could be a defensive guy. Could be an offensive guy if that's the right fit. As far as Fangio, you know, he is a great coach, obviously. He is slightly curmudgeonly. Mm-hmm. He's sort of in the you know, Bruce Arians' realm of being an old dude who should have got a head coaching opportunity a while ago, but now just for whatever reason hasn't. You know, he could get the Green Bay job, certainly possible. I would sort of put him more along the lines of someone who has a good shot when, if there's a lot of openings, you start to run out of candidates and you go, all right, forget about who's flashy and impressive and who's going to have a great press conference, who's just a great coach that's available.
Are they going to have to – is the sense that the Packers are going to have to get flashy and impressive in free agency in order to save what's left of Aaron Rodgers' time in the NFL?
I don't think – I mean, they're going to be creative because that's what Gutekunst has done. I mean, think about – it's actually, like, crazy to think about compared to what Ted Thompson used to do. But
yeah.
Two trades at the trade deadline. I mean, two actual real trades of players who are alive and existing for other things. That was not like Ted Thompson. They spent big in free agency on Jimmy Graham. Obviously, has not worked out like they hoped, but they spent. So I would expect, you know, some sort of fireworks in free agency for the Packers. That said, like, I'm not sure they need a ton. You know, I mean, they'll probably lose some payroll. You know, I'm curious what happens with Clay Matthews going forward. You know, his salary. There's definitely some questions there. They got a young receiving core. Probably could use a number one. Graham will come back. I mean, I would expect them to do some things, but I don't think it's a team that needs like a complete overhaul because I don't think they're that far away.
What just happened with the NFL and the Rooney rule? And I've read some of this, and I'm trying to realize it does seem like the NFL wants to tell you that the rule has been strengthened or that the number of loopholes or the number of outs that are available to teams have been removed or have been made smaller. What would be a thumbnail guide to how that's going to inform some of these coaching searches now?
I do believe that they have strengthened it. And this was, you know, officially definitely not a reaction to the Raiders having two sham interviews
right.
and hiring John Gruden, who they were going to hire all along. The question was even asked at a press conference, should we call this the John Gruden rule? And everybody was like, no, definitely not. However, I would say it probably was a reaction to John Gruden and the Raiders. And the things that you have to sort of know going forward as far as what this rule means is you have to hire you have to interview someone either not in your building or on the NFL's preferred list of good candidates. So you can't just hire... You can't just interview random dude like tight ends coach who happens to be on your team like the Raiders did last year and say, okay, we fulfilled the Rooney rule. It has to be a real person. And if the owner was involved at the beginning, then he has to be involved throughout. In other words, you can't just have your like, you know, fourth string personnel guy interview the tight ends coach and say, okay, we fulfilled the Rooney rule. So I do believe it was strengthened in that fashion.
What did it take to get the NFL to put the draft in Vegas?
Some awesome, brilliant people. I mean, some of the biggest geniuses we've seen in the 21st century. You know, it's funny because I remember, God, when I think it was 4 years ago. I was definitely in a different house, so it was at least 3 years ago.
Okay.
I remember getting the call that someone from Las Vegas was interested in helping the Raiders get a stadium. And I'm like... And it turned out to be Sheldon Adelson, but I didn't know this at the time. I just knew it was some casino magnate, right? And I called around to the league, and I'm like, you know, obviously this is something you guys are not going to support, but, you know, as I report on this, like, what's the most important thing to know? And the response I got from league sources was, no, I think that's okay. And I'm like, wait, what?
Uh-huh.
And it was there that there was the shift began from, you know, not going to be associated with Vegas or casinos to, well, maybe. And then Sheldon Adelson comes in, and, you know, not him, but the Raiders end up getting $750 million for a new stadium. Gambling has now been legalized in several states. The NFL is now seeking a title casino sponsor. This is all happening dramatically quickly. And so, you know, when I found out that it was going to be Vegas for the draft, of course, that's awesome. But second of all, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's where all this was heading. And I think it's really cool.
I saw a stat that was posted. I think the Sporting News had it. And it says, of the six highest paid quarterbacks, look at who is currently quarterbacking a playoff-bound team. And right now, by average annual value of contract, your six highest paid quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matthew Stafford, and Derek Carr. Only Kirk Cousins has a team that is currently holding down a playoff spot and tenuously at that. What do we learn from that, if anything?
That it's really hard to maintain your level of talent on a team paying a quarterback like that. I mean, it's just, you have to be perfect. And we've seen teams do it. We've also seen teams like the Patriots say, you know, ask and ask and ask and get Brady to take a below market deal because it's hard to build a team with a great quarterback. You just have to be perfect, you know? And also we learned that when you have a quarterback who's really good and young and cheap, you better take advantage of that window. Like, for instance, the Bears. You know, if they think Trubisky is going to be someone who's going to make $28 or $29 million a year, which I imagine he's probably going to be in that category, then you got to take advantage now, because at some point you're going to be giving up players, you know, a guard, a outside linebacker, you know, strong safety to pay your quarterback. So you have to be perfect elsewhere to keep that going.
Given that, though, you don't see anything in the future other than just a gigantic change to the CBA or something that would affect the value of quarterbacks once they hit free agency, good quarterbacks once they hit free agency, do you?
No, I mean, the only thing that I've heard kicked around, at least from like a, hey, this is something to consider, at least standpoint, is making the quarterback salaries different, like in their own categories. Like, I've had some people say, you know what we could do is just have quarterback salaries not count against the cap. And it's not that crazy of an idea, honestly. Because, you know, you want these guys to get paid. They're great. Their value's nuts. They're all, and honestly, underpaid anyway. But you don't want it to hurt the overall value of a team. In other words, you don't want to penalize teams for having great quarterbacks. So it's not that bad of an idea.
You've already made
a
whole bunch
of how they address it.
Yeah, I mean, you've already made a whole bunch of rules literally on the field to protect quarterbacks. Why not separate
them financially?
Why
are we pretending? Yeah. Yeah,
that's fascinating.
That really
that's almost like too easy. And then you think about it, like who would be hurt by that unless you had really unequal revenues?
Owners.
If you have Shad Khan is going to say, look, you know, what can I spend here? Somebody in a smaller market that may not be able to throw off the same amount of cash.
Yes.
But even so, those differences, even though they would want to cry that, they're still gazillionaires.
Right. I mean, I would imagine in that situation, you'd have something like the NBA has where you have like max contracts. Because, if Aaron Rodgers was on the actual, real, legit open market, like what would he get? Like 50?
At this age, though, at 35? I don't know.
I don't know. If he hadn't played great. I don't know. But anyway, I think the main thing is you'd probably still have some cap on it. But taking it out of the general mix is interesting to consider.
It indeed is. We always have interesting things from Ian Rappaport, and we appreciate you joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ian Rappaport, you can check out the Rap Sheet and Friends podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.